Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Auburn Live Podcast, your home for bold, insightful, and honest conversations around Auburn athletics.
War Eagle!
All right, welcome into another Auburn Live show. I am Justin Hokanson from AuburnLive.com, part of the On3 Sports Network. Appreciate everybody for joining us. If you haven't hopped over to AuburnLive.com, got all the post-Iron Bowl coverage. It's all there, and a bunch of recruiting updates have been going on since Saturday night and Sunday morning, so make sure you're reading all of that from Jeffrey Lee and Cole Pinkston, AuburnLive.com. All right, let's jump right into it. It's our Monday morning quarterback edition, as we do after every game, with former Auburn quarterback Ben Leard. Ben, what's up, man? How you feeling?
Oh, I mean, it's a mixed bag, Hoke. I mean, I'm obviously just heartbroken with the result of the game last night, but I don't know that in an instance of a national championship, I could be more proud to be an Auburn alum. Especially an Auburn Letterman. Walking out of that stadium last night, I was so proud of those kids and so proud of how hard they played. They put it all out there. I don't think there was a single player on the roster that didn't lay their guts on the line and do everything they could to contribute to a win. And they were close, man. I mean, I know there's no moral victories, and I know you don't, the ifs and the buts were candy and nuts, right? But those kids did everything in their power to win. And I, my hat's off to them, dude. I was so proud of them, and I still am.
Yeah, it was a rough one, man. Auburn falls 24-22, four overtimes. Here's the funny thing. Nobody will believe me other than Cole Pinkston, who can vouch for me. I called that. Like, so it's probably fourth quarter. It's 10-0. And I looked at Cole and I go, it was weird. It's just a weird game. And I go, what? I go, hey, watch this. I said, watch this be a game where Alabama's going to tie it up. It's going to go in overtime. And then it's going to turn into a back and forth in overtime, and the score is not going to be indicative of the game at all. I literally said that to him. I go, watch it go in overtime, and then us go like four overtime, three overtimes, whatever, and the score is going to be something weird that's not going to look like what the game was.
Yeah.
And it just had a weird feeling of how that was going.
The entire game was weird. I mean, and as an Auburn fan, you're watching it and knowing the explosiveness of Alabama's offense, you felt the pressure at any moment the dam could break, right? And you look up and you're down 17, and it was just an immense amount of pressure of what's to come and what's to happen. And man, you kept waiting on Auburn's defense to just get weary and tired, and you know, and ultimately up until that last drive, man, they put together another gear that I don't think Auburn has seen this season. And you obviously have to commend offense and special teams, but Auburn's defense last night, they played a game that they found a different level of intensity, a different level of just emotion, and however they pulled it from one another to do what they did against ultimately one of the best offenses in the country, or most explosive offenses in the country. I was overwhelmed by it, and I was I don't know. I sound like I'm stumbling all over myself, but man, these kids, they did everything they could, and you can't do anything but applaud them.
Yeah, I mean, look, I was dead wrong on what I thought would happen when Auburn's defense was on the field. You know, we had our modcast as a part of auburnlive.com. We had that and talked about the game, and I think I probably said the same with you. I did not like that matchup. I mean, I was just thinking about Derek Mason and the way that Auburn had played defense this year against that Alabama offense. I was like, boy, if they sit back and try to just kind of keep a top on it, it's like it's just not gonna work. But credit Derek Mason for, you know, look, they had played man a little bit earlier in the year. Like, it's not like they hadn't done it. It was just a mixture. But credit Derek Mason. I would have loved to have been in the film room or in the strategy sessions before that Alabama game. And one, you know, I'm curious to know how that went down. Did Derek Mason walk in there and go, "Hey, this is what we're doing"? Did players go, "Man, let us play"? You know, let us free. I don't know. I would have loved to have been in there, but credit Derek Mason for saying, "Hey, look, the only way we're gonna beat him is we're gonna have to pressure. And the band's playing one way or another, so we're gonna take that chance." They took the risks on defense. Alabama could have burned them. They could have burned them, and it is what it is. But Auburn, you know, he put a lot of trust in McCreary and those defensive linemen and the secondary to make plays and say, "Here's what it's going to have to be, guys. You're either going to make the plays or you're not. But this is how we're going to have to attack them and try to keep them in check." Because he knew, Derek Mason knew the offense, backup quarterback, that offense isn't scoring much. He knew, like, holding Alabama to like, let's say in regulation, holding them to 21, probably not good enough. So what's the difference in holding them to 21 or 38 if neither are good enough? And I think they went in there and said, "We need to completely, we need to do our best to shut him down." And my gosh, 7 sacks. McCreary had a great night. I hate that he's the one that got beat.
I
But
know.
when you're on their best receiver every play of the game, you're going to get beat. I promise you, he won as many as he lost. And that's huge. But
Hands down, McCreary made himself a lot of money last night.
Oh, he certainly solidified it. Yeah, no doubt.
And you're right, man. You love to be a fly on the wall, right? You'd love to know, and you hope that you, the way the kids played with that fist fight mentality. I mean, they came out. I mean, you could tell a visible difference between sidelines. You could tell a visible difference of the aggressiveness and the attitude of the players. I mean, Auburn, those kids were ready for a back alley fight, top to bottom, and especially defensively. And I think it was either a message from the players to Derek Mason, "Hey, listen, if we're going to go down, let us go down swinging." Or it was a message from Derek Mason to the players of, "Hey, Roger, we're going to put you on eight." And he followed Mechie around the field the entire game. "You're good. We're going to live or die by you, period." And you're right, man. You hate that. Yeah, you hate that Mechie had the catches to win that game, but you're 100% accurate in the sense that I guarantee you that McCreary won more of those battles than he lost, and throughout the entire game. And that's what ultimately put Auburn in position to go to four overtimes and be in a position to win the game with what ultimately turned out to be a one-legged backup quarterback. And you just tank with 29 carries. You know, they knew the mentality of going into that game that there weren't going to be any 10, 20, 30-yard runs. 2, 3, and 4 yard carries were victorious and were ones to be applauded. So they knew it was going to be an absolute physical test for them to be able to be successful. And I think the mentality of setting that tone going into the game offensively and defensively, they knew what their philosophy needed to be. So therefore, they knew what small victories to celebrate and knew what to expect, so that when they weren't gashing Alabama for 10 or 12 or 15 yards, it didn't dampen their spirits. They knew that what they were doing was ultimately going to work. And so therefore it kept them in the game and it kept them feeding off the crowd and the crowd off of them, which, you know, paid dividends.
Yeah, that Auburn defensive front, That's about as good as they can play. And you saw flashes of it, you know, early in the season. You thought they had that ability. And then they just, it was pretty good at times. But, I mean, that, there's a lot of talent. It all came together. I mean, Colby Wooden, your defensive tackle, had 11 tackles. Derek Hall had 3 sacks. Of course, Zakobi McLean was fantastic. And then, you know, you had somebody on the back end in McCreary with 4 pass breakups. So really, your best defenders played their best games, and the result was really a defensive performance for the ages. Forget how it ended, where they get to 24 points, and I think they finished with 300 and something yards. I think 30 yards. I think they had about probably 350 in regulation of total yardage. I mean, they held that offense to 68 yards of total offense in the first half.
Yeah.
I mean, they Alabama didn't get on the scoreboard until 8:44 in the fourth quarter. It was just, it was a remarkable effort. Reminded me of some, you know, 2002 and 2005. It reminded me more of 2002. Honestly, in Tuscaloosa, that team went to Alabama top 10 and just shut them down, with guys like Traverius Robinson and Carlos Dansby and all those guys. It was that kind of swarming, performance. And I hated to see Derek Hall on the field. We're up there and the game's over and people have left the field basically and are leaving the field. And he's kind of one of the last players sort of making his way from midfield to the locker room. And he slams his helmet on the ground. He gets down on a knee, just trying to compose himself. He gets up, he starts walking, does it again, just in disbelief, hits his helmet on the ground. I mean, heartbroken. Asked him after the game just what was going through his mind. He was like, it sucks. It's painful, you know? And that's who I hate it for, man. I thought about those players, and you were a player, and you know about it. But I, from my perspective, somebody that lives in the world of writing about it and seeing fan reaction, that's the world I live in. And then seeing that visual of Derek Hall, I mean, it was like, it almost want to maybe go to the board and just be like, I tell you what, everybody, like, just, I wish I had it on video. I'm about, yeah, watch this video of Derek Hall. Watch this. Now come to the message board and tell me about how mad you are. It was very much like, I mean, it was funny, and maybe it was Nick Saban's rant the other day, but it was like, that there's nobody that it hurts more than those players and those coaches. Right. And as mad as you are as fans, it's I promise, keep it in some kind of perspective. I just hated it for somebody like Derek Hall, who poured his heart out. Zakobi McLean, seniors, man. Like,
yeah.
And to lose it like that was just brutal. Brutal.
Well, and Hope, you said it best, man, that in the sense that puts it into perspective of understanding, one, how much games like this mean to these kids. And on the other side of the field, too, now. I mean, trust me, Alabama was as excited to win the game, just as disappointed as Auburn was to lose the game.
Yeah.
So this is a huge ball game, regardless of records, especially when it comes down to the wire like that. But it does. It breaks your heart to see guys like Derek Hall and Zakobi McLean and, you know, Chandler Wooten, those guys that ultimately, regardless of whether they return as super seniors or whatever, or if they go on in the NFL, whatever their scenario is, they're going to have to chew on. They're going to have to chew on the fact that they lost their last Iron Bowl in Jordan-Hare Stadium, as far as that goes. And that's difficult, man. I mean, it's 22 years ago. And it irks me to know that I was the first starting quarterback in Auburn history to lose to Alabama at home. That bothers me. And it's not a prideful situation. I mean, it sucks. So, you know, granted, as a quarterback, you know, you do these kind of things and you look at it from the standpoint of watching these kids and being able to empathize with the amount of work that goes into it and the trials and tribulations of a first-year head coach. And, you know, they're coming off a three-game losing skid, and it was them against the world. It was David versus Goliath. The only thing you have at this point is playing for pride and playing for orange and blue and, you know, all of those cliche coach speak, you know, pregame and halftime speeches. Every one of them apparently worked for these kids. And every one of them resonated with somebody in that locker room. And they absolutely, I mean, absolutely laid it on the line. And it's refreshing to see, honestly, in a day of ultimately, you know, we can call it what we want, but NCAA football or college football today is a glorified free agency at times. In a day of that, to see kids absolutely love competing and they despise losing and they love playing for the team that they are representing or the colors they're representing on their jersey, that's what it's all about, man.
Yeah. Let's talk about the game a little bit and X's and O's and strategy and things like that. I posted on our message board on the corner on Sunday, just basically saying, hey, look, I mean, we can dissect this game until we're dead, you know, but ultimately you lose games because of a collective effort. Like you don't lose because of one singular thing. You generally lose because a number of things go wrong. You generally win because a number of things go right. Plays are made, coaching decisions, whatever it is. Because I was just thinking about this game and, you know, obviously a lot of people, there's criticism all over the place. People are mad that Tank Bigsby ran out of bounds. People are mad that Brian Harsin didn't go for two after the touchdown in overtime, or there's just a myriad of things. But the bottom line is they're all like legitimate criticisms, I guess, to some degree. And so I think there's plenty of blame to go around, if you will, blame. But it is a game. Look, Auburn was three touchdown underdogs, but the game plan was pretty obviously pretty solid. And it's a game that Auburn put themselves into position to win. And didn't. I mean, that's the reality, is that's four games in a row that you've been in position in the fourth quarter to win a football game and you haven't. It's three games in a row you've had a double-digit lead and you've lost it. And so we can talk about why and why that happened, whether it's personnel, like what I think there's the pattern of things. I think there's a lot of things that could go into it, but it happened. Yeah. So Brian Harsin have got to figure that out. So I don't want to get too much into, you know, I mean, Gary Danielson was kind of, you know, kept bringing up, I watched the replay, kept bringing up the Tank play. And yeah, it was a huge play. Can't go out of bounds. Can't do it. Doesn't matter if the guy kind of dragged you or held you up. You got to dive head first to stay in bounds. You don't even put yourself in position. You just dive forward and you stay in bounds. The Finley sack. In the third quarter when they're in field goal position, he takes a 14-yard sack. They have to punt. There's points off the board. The Finley interception after they take over on downs, big momentum play. But there was plays the other way. If you're Alabama, you're sitting here going, if we don't fumble a snap and kick a field goal, maybe we win in regulation. If we don't fumble a snap on fourth and two, maybe we convert. Like, both teams could play that game, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's just – I think it's just kind of, I don't know. I think it's, sorry, this is my like soapbox. I just think it's a little worthless to go through this game and figure out where they could have won and lost. Because if you point at coaching, I can point at execution. And where does that get us?
It you're correct in that we can all go back and retrospectively look at good, bad, or ugly. But we also have to put it into a little bit of perspective and realize, I don't know, you could take a poll of the number of Auburn fans that were, one, that were in attendance of that ballgame, and number two, the Auburn fans that watched that ballgame that thought it was going to be such a closely contested ballgame. I know I didn't.
Very few.
And so – yeah, I mean, it's so let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's realize that, hey man, give credit where credit's due. They had a game plan that freaking worked. they did some things to Alabama that put Alabama in difficult situations and caused them to play uncharacteristically poorly on offense and defense and special teams. So take that with a grain of salt in the sense that, yeah, we can go back and look at, you know, you can look at the 14-yard loss on the sack with TJ and taking them out of field goal range. And you're exactly right. You can look at the mistake or not going out of bounds. You can look at, you know, you get the ball with 2 minutes to go and Alabama has a limited number of timeouts. One first down, that game's over. Well, you can also look at it. Okay, you know, Alabama gets the ball first and 10 on Auburn's 3 yard line or on their own 3 yard line. If with essentially no timeouts, if there's one tackle inbounds, basically one tackle inbounds, that hampers and handcuffs Alabama's ability to make plays. We can all go back and play armchair quarterback. But you said it best when you look at there were things that Auburn's game plan caused Alabama to do or that put enough pressure on them to make uncharacteristic mistakes that made it a freaking game in the first place.
Yeah.
It, you know, it is what it is, man. I mean, the game turned out the way it turned out. It sucked. We don't you don't let it linger. I told Zach Etheridge last night, this is fuel. I hate it. Losing sucks. But as disappointed as you are as a coach, you could hear it in Carnell's voice as he did a post-game interview. You use this to fuel you for 2022, period. Use it to your advantage. And that's what good teams and great players do. That's what great staffs have the ability to do, is use it as motivation and fuel. Is, hey guys, you don't like the way this feels? Here's how we correct those mistakes.
Yeah,
that's it. I mean, look, and people can critique TJ and the way he played and the things that he did and whatnot. He was the kid on the roster that put them in position to win the football game. You got to applaud him. First big time start he's ever had in his career. And I mean, I know, man, I know that there's a lot of speculation and a lot of things we could go back and want to change. And if this happened, but you know, if this didn't happen, the result of the game may have been a blowout as opposed to a quadruple overtime loss.
Yeah. And I pointed out on the board, I said, look, you know, you never do this when you win. For instance, let's say everything in that game goes exactly how it went, but on that last drive, you know, Jalen Simpson makes that play. Literally, if he makes that play, nobody's talking about Tank going out of bounds. Nobody's talking about TJ Finley getting sacked. Nobody's talking about TJ Finley throwing a pick. Nobody's talking about anything other than how awesome that staff is for winning the football game.
You know what Alabama's doing today? They're talking about the catch. That's it. They're not talking about the fumbled snap on fourth and two. They're not talking about the muffed field goal attempt. They're not talking about the targeting call that Jameson Williams had against him. They're not talking about the mistakes that Alabama made. They're talking about a catch. They're talking about a drive. That's it. You're exactly right, Hope. If you're on the winning end of that relationship, you forget all of the things that handcuffed you or handicapped you and lessened your likelihood of winning the game. On the losing end, yeah, you're going to go back and dissect and investigate and do all those kind of things, the what ifs about it. But you know, that is part of the game. That's part of the process. But at some point, you gotta let it go, use it as motivation and fuel for the next one and learn from it.
Yeah. You're exactly right. Alabama's not over there talking about, I mean, let's be real. I mean, if they lose that game, you know what they'd be saying? How did Nick Saban let this offensive line get so poor? How do you have two right tackles that couldn't block anything? You know, how, there's a whole host of things they could be talking about. and but they're not because
that's
they
right. That's right.
So we move on. Auburn's going to play in a bowl game. I would imagine that they'll be, you know, that they should be ready to play that game. Obviously, it's an important game for Brian Harsin. It's his first bowl game at Auburn, so there shouldn't be any complacency, any stuff like that. We'll see kind of players, if anybody sits out, things like that. What's kind of your, you know, take on the season? Brian Harsin was asked about it after the game and said all the right things. Look, said he said, I'm not, he said, my goal coming into the season, there wasn't a win-loss goal. He goes, every loss is, he's like, that's not acceptable. I mean, we don't accept losing. I want to slash in the win column every time we play. He goes, my goals were to develop the culture and develop the standards and create habits in the program and things like that. And then obviously every game you play, you want to win. And then now it's recruit. For Auburn, it's recruit and it's meet needs. What are kind of your impressions a day later of now looking back at the season? I mean, I could play optimist and say, hey, Auburn went 6-6, but they should have won the last three. Well, I could play optimist and say, if they just had personnel, just an upgrade in personnel, they don't blow the last three games. I could say they go 9-3. They don't lose to Penn State either. I mean, I could honestly say Georgia and A&M game was a tough one. I don't really know. That turned into, you know, that's a tough one to say maybe you should have won because it turned into such a lopsided game. That might have been a bad game plan. I don't know. But I could easily make the case that a few more players at offensive line, a couple of more wideouts, in Auburn wins 9 or 10 games. They had the lead in all these games, but they lost them. So, I mean, and ultimately 6-6 is the record. So how do you kind of look at it? How this thing ended and what's your take on,
you know,
think about next year?
You're obviously as a fan, you're disappointed in 6-6. I mean, and you have every right to be, but like you had said, Harsin has made no bones about the fact that he's not judging his first year's success based on wins and losses. While he wants to win every single game, he does make note of that, but he is building something from the ground up from a cultural perspective and understanding that every day these kids are to compete. Every day these kids are fighting the battle for a position. And that's ultimately that iron sharpened iron's mentality. And that's how you get to be able to compete for championships year in and year out. And I've got the ultimate amount of confidence in what they're trying to accomplish and do and win and be successful and do things and compete. So the message I think now in looking at it is that they have the ability to recruit and have the message of telling a kid, hey man, we are you close from winning 9 or 10 games. We legitimately are. We get one or two stud receivers. We develop an offensive line, allow Will Friend to do what he's capable of doing with personnel and recruit some of the kids that he may have targeted over the last several years. And then most importantly, allow Nick Eason, Derek Mason, those guys to get in the recruits that they have been garnishing so well and developing rapport with that they're not having to consistently run a three down lineman set. You know, they add a defensive lineman to the setup. They add another athletic linebacker, you know, to assist and do what they want to do physically and do some things from a defensive perspective that Mason is more accustomed to doing. And his personnel permits him to be as dynamic as he needs to be or can be. So I'm excited. I think that's the word. I'm excited about where they're going. I'm excited about the capabilities of the staff. I like the staff a lot. I think they are extremely knowledgeable. I think they obviously were limited slightly with regards to personnel this season. And so I think they need the ability to have a recruiting season of their own, a full recruiting season of their own, and then see how they succeed or how they develop those particular players. This offseason is pivotal in their success, not only from a recruiting perspective, but it's pivotal to keep our kids out of the portal. It's they and that's one of the main stressors of being a college football coach today is not only do you have to continue to recruit to bring in new talent, you got to keep your arm around the kids you got. You got to take care of what got you to the dance. Yeah. And I get that, but that's a scary thought that Auburn may be without Tank Bigsby next year. You never know. Yeah. You know, to look at it from that perspective. So this offseason is huge. It's pivotal to the success of not only the staff, but to Auburn, period. And I think if they're able to check those boxes, I think next year will be substantially better. I think the next will be substantially better than that. You know, and this is a championship culture, and Auburn has a championship appetite, and they're willing to devote and develop and insert and infuse the level of funding and the level of devotion that needs to build that type of culture. And I've got high expectations, and I think they're founded. I think they're supported.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting few months as Auburn tries to finish this recruiting class out strong, which they have, you know, everything we're hearing. And I said it probably late in the fourth quarter. I tweeted it. I said, look, regardless of what happens at this point, this is a successful recruiting weekend because they showed fight. They showed, you know, competitiveness. Recruits are going, man, recruits are walking away probably saying Auburn should have won the game. And the atmosphere was incredible. It was as loud a stadium as I've heard in a while. And I'm in the press box behind glass, and it was pretty loud. Like, I know what that probably sounded like. And so great atmosphere. Auburn's got to finish strong in recruiting, figure out personnel things. Maybe there's some guys that they would rather transfer. You know, who knows? Just kind of make some changes, see if they do anything on staff, and kind of use everything they learned from this year in the SEC and try to dial it in a little bit. And go from there. Harsin's an interesting guy, you know. I mean, just I can never quite get a read on him. He's just very after the game when they're talking to him, I mean, he's just very matter of fact. And it's he's just never gonna show a ton of emotion. But I think that's ultimately probably a good thing in a head coach. And something Auburn probably needs. I think he's kind of a steady presence in trying to build this thing. And so, I honestly, man, I hate the culture we're in college football. I really do. Like, I don't know where this came from, but it's just, I mean, just this fire and higher and fire. And I mean, it's just like, I hate it. I mean, the fact that people were talking about year one, should Harsin, like, is he on the hot seat? Is crazy. I mean, it's just nuts. To me, have confidence in your coach. Give him everything. Give support, resources. Give him everything he needs for 3 years, and then kind of look up and see where you're at. Barring like disasters, barring you know, you're looking in there going, "Hey, the program's falling apart." Like, barring that, it's something where you got to give him a couple of years.
Yeah.
Because look back. I mean, look, Gene Chizik went 8-4 his first year. There's nobody. He's 8-4. He plays Alabama to the wire. He wins a bowl game. Is there anybody after that season that would have predicted 3 years later we would watch the worst season in the history of Auburn football? Like, no. How would you possibly predict that?
There was also nobody that would have predicted that the next season.
Sure.
What do they do?
Yeah.
You know. I agree with you. The
you just don't know is what I'm saying. Gus goes 12-2, you know, and he had a good 14. Well, then 15-16, they were basically like 500. And I mean, I wouldn't have predicted that watching the first 2 years of Gus. I'm thinking they've got, and then 15-16 just completely, they're in the Birmingham Bowl. I mean, I wouldn't have thought that was going to happen. I want to caution people about trying to make long-term assessments on 6-6 year one, what that means, because there's so many factors. You just don't know yet. There's not enough data. So, all right. Well, we'll get back on here and talk before the bowl game. Let's do a preview. When Auburn gets at it, and see where they end up in the bowl game. Who knows? Maybe Memphis, Liberty Bowl, something like that. I don't know. A lot of decisions to be made in the offseason. We'll see how it goes. Regardless, value and effort from Auburn, 21-point underdogs basically, and they're up 10-3 and 10-0, and just almost a historic game and win for Auburn. All right, man. Well, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
It was good. It was good. Ate too much. Hope you did as well. And hey, we live to play another day, my friend.
Yeah. We'll take a few weeks off and come back before the bowl game and do something before the bowl game. Does that sound good?
Sounds good, brother.
All right. For Ben and Justin, AuburnLive.com. Make sure you go subscribe. Between now and next couple weeks, a lot of recruiting information. Some good things are happening. Auburn needs to close the deal. So make sure you're tuned in to all of that at AuburnLive.com. Appreciate everybody for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.